Hello, and welcome to the Sunday service of Calvary Chapel Foothill Ranch with Pastor Steve DeNicola.
If I could have my leaders coming up, and we're going to sit up here, and like I said, we're going to field questions as best we can. So you can either direct your question to any one of us, and we'll answer it as best we can, or you can just ask the question, let whoever feels kind of led by the Lord to answer it, answer it. But go ahead. Don't be shy.
I have a question for Suzette.
No.
My question is about prayer. All through my day, I pray. I pray for all of us here and all the people that I work with and for my family. And it is such a huge part of my day. And I love it. But what's on my mind is the Holy Spirit. Can we pray to the Holy Spirit?
That's a great question.
Is this, I usually, in prayer, I like to think that I can speak directly with Jesus. I like to think that I can speak to God. I even refer to them differently, different times as different individuals. But the Holy Spirit. I don't know. Can we pray to the Holy Spirit, or I don't fully understand that.
Great question, Duke. Anybody want to answer that?
You know, Duke. I think recently, as some of our recent studies, to me, I look at the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit as one. And I think when I did my communion focus, it came to my attention that the Father, Son, Holy Spirit are one, they're intimate with one another, and there's oneness between the three persons. So I've prayed to the Holy Spirit. There's just times where I just, Holy Spirit, I need help now. Many times I pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. But I think you can talk to the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit when it's on your heart, because they are one. There's unity in the three persons. There's oneness, and there's that intimacy. And they want the same thing with us. So it's on your heart sometimes. You have that need for a father sometimes when I seek that sort of fatherly advice. I have to come to the Father. And I always seem to come always to the Father through Christ, because I know Christ is the one that made it possible for me to have a Heavenly Father. But sometimes the Holy Spirit is like, I need action, you know, or I need that, I need Him to give me an answer. Something's on my heart. So it depends on where I'm at, but I think it's fine.
Does anybody else want to answer that?
I do. I want to talk about Romans 8:26, and it says there, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And a lot of times we talk about that as tongues, but sometimes we don't know, and we say, Holy Spirit, guide me, lead me, teach me how to pray at this time. And then the next verse it says, now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, but he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So it's the Holy Spirit that makes the intercession for us. So when you're praying, the Holy Spirit is making the intercession for you as you're praying.
And, you know, we did pray. Go ahead, Randy. We did pray to the Holy Spirit already tonight, and you led us in that prayer along with the rest of the team. When in one of the songs, literally, we were actually singing out to the Holy Spirit, and worship is sung prayer. And that's really a good example of the right way to be talking to the Holy Spirit. People have gotten weird on this. Anybody remember Benny Hinn's book, Good Morning, Holy Spirit?
Oh,
okay.
Yes.
People get weird on anything. Any doctrine, any truth taken to extreme, what? Falls off the table. But that doesn't mean there isn't truth there. Just don't go wacko to where all you do is talk to the Holy Spirit. Okay, Randy, go ahead.
Great analogy. Caterpillars that we are before the Spirit is in us. And as we know, you pointed out, Acts is when the Spirit is really given to us, comes upon, forms the church. So how is it that there is so much power and strength in just men of God and men of faith in the Old Testament? Before Acts, what was the Spirit's role in that, or did the Spirit have a role in that?
Very good.
If you
take note of how the Holy or how the Old Testament has been written, there were certain individuals that God dealt with pretty much uniquely. Everybody in the Old Testament, and we don't know how many there were. There were literally millions of people that were associated with being either Hebrew themselves or part of the family of the Hebrews or the priests or somehow connected. Most of them did not have that power. There are only certain key individuals that God selected pretty much uniquely by name. They were either prophets or judges or kings or in some capacity individual people. And God spoke to them, he used them, he told them what to do, and they did mighty things in his name. Sometimes they even blew it, and that's why they're recorded for our teaching, for our edification. But it wasn't everybody in the Old Testament that had that relationship. It was only those key individuals. And we see things like so-and-so would say, well, it's the God of Abraham that told him to do that. It wasn't their God. It was Abraham's God. They had no relationship with that God. Abraham did. So whatever Abraham's God says, I think we ought to do it. And it was pretty much that way. Most of them lived under a legal system, which means you obey the law. And by doing that, you will know the perfection, the uniqueness of this God that we serve. You'll see how he wants us to live. And those that God spoke to knew him in an entirely different way. So I think it was quite a different relationship in the Old Testament than what we have in the New Testament after the church was born. We have the Holy Spirit within us. We have that power. God knows each one of us intimately, and we know him intimately if we allow ourselves because of the Holy Spirit. So I was kind of long-winded, but...
Excellent. And I think the difference is, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came upon people.
Exactly.
But this is what Jesus said in John 14, 17. And he makes that distinction. He says, and let's start with 16. I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. Okay, that's not too different than the Spirit kind of abiding and upon different people. But then he goes on, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he, what, dwells with you and will be in you. And that's the difference. And I just looked up on my iPad here, and it talks about in Judges, there's like 536 spirits in the Bible, the word Spirit. It says the Spirit of the Lord, in Judges 11, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah, and then in 13, the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon whoever it was then in that chapter. And then in chapter 14, the Spirit of the Lord came up mightily upon him again. In 14, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and the Spirit of the Lord came up mightily upon him again. In 15, I think it's Samson he's talking about. So the Spirit of the Lord comes upon in the Old Testament, but he is within us. That's the unique difference in the New Testament.
Let me just add, too, and when we're talking about the church, it is a very unique relationship. And Pastor Steve, you mentioned the scripture in the book of Acts chapter 2. Peter gets his courage from the Holy Spirit right after the Holy Spirit fell upon them in the upper room. They go right outside onto it in the street, and they preach. Peter preaches this incredible evangelistic message, and what he does is he convicts them of sin. He nails them. He busts them for everything that they've been doing. And they say, he says, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. I mean, that wasn't Peter showing him his calluses because he was a fisherman. That was the Holy Spirit convicting them of sin. And he says, and they said, all together they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? They were afraid. And Peter said to them, repent. Let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. So that's two things. And for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That was the sign of the church. You will have the Holy Spirit. All of us have the Holy Spirit, whether you recognize it, whether you feel it or not. You do. And the Spirit was a temporary occurrence. He appeared. He fell on them. He work through them, and then he left.
Yeah.
Every one of us sitting in this room right now, if we've accepted Christ, and that isn't a ceremony, that isn't some big, giant, elaborate process, if we believe on Jesus Christ as the Son of God, we repent of our sins and literally say, I don't want to do this anymore, help me not do this, we've already fulfilled the two things that Peter said to do. What's the next thing? We are filled with the Holy Spirit permanently. It can be confusing, but we just have to trust and know that God, the Holy Spirit, is in us. And we can talk long and hard about that, but there's many, many different ways that the Spirit helps us.
Who else? Anybody else?
Somebody passes to me. It says, is the baptism of the Holy Spirit a separate event than salvation?
Well, I want to say each Wednesday is going to be a different topic. Next week is going to be spiritual warfare. Okay, we're going to deal with that subject next week, and we're all in a warfare, whether we like it or not. You signed up to get into an army when you became a Christian, and we are going to do one whole night on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and it is a separate experience. That's why I wanted to talk about the role of the Holy Spirit tonight. Then let's talk about that, the Spirit coming upon us in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and then gifts, how he expresses his power through gifts. So he comes, he's with us, he's in us, and he comes upon us. And we're going to look at those three real quickly on that night. And we're going to talk about gifts of the Holy Spirit and define that a little bit. So that is distinct. Yes, it's different. Well, like I said, I'll get into that on that night. I don't want to take up tonight dealing with the role of the baptism of the Holy. What we're talking about is a baptism with the Holy Spirit. You'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. And like I said, we'll talk about that. I could do a whole teaching on it.
It says, what can I do to keep distractions, phone, family, and so forth, and my own thoughts wandering when I pray? How do we keep the focus?
Anybody want to start with that one? I'll tell you one thing I do. I even do it in Thursday morning prayer right here. I pull out a piece of paper and write that down, and then I can forget about it. I know. You didn't know I did that?
Busted, yeah.
I don't do it every time, but there are times when I do. Literally, these thoughts will run through my mind, and I just get that thought out, and then I can get right back to prayer. And I just take a pause, write it down, and then I don't have to think about it anymore. That's one thing I do. The other thing is, and that's one of the many wonderful things about the gift of your spiritual language, is when you're praying in the Spirit, it alleviates a lot of distractions. At least it does for me, and I think if we were to have kind of a testimony of people that have experienced that, when you just pray in the Spirit, it's kind of like you can just let go of those distractions and just allow the Word. You don't have to think so carefully about what you're praying, so to speak.
Just say a couple things about distractions. If you're having a conversation with your son or your daughter or your mom or your dad or someone that you really like, are you going to allow someone to come in and interrupt what you're doing? So to me, we mentioned the Holy Spirit as a relationship, and that's been a key to me, is a relationship, not this spiritual, mystical force thing, a relationship. And so when I look at that, and I've got problems, and I've got things going on, I seek the Holy Spirit because he's going to be the most gentle, the most caring, the most knowing, the most understanding, the most knowledgeable, the most wise. And so I don't let those things come in because I've got, if I use that analogy as my daughter and some bully comes in, I'm not going to let that bully come in. I'm with time with my daughter. You're not going to have time with me. So the more you think of it as this relationship, the more it doesn't become all this mystical, weird stuff. I mean, he loves us. He's so perfect and gentle and quiet that we just look to him in that relationship, and I think it will help us.
Okay, I've got three more. Okay.
You like being the question girl, don't you?
Well, no, you told me to, so I'm doing it. This is my duty. Okay. It says, did Jesus need to be filled with the Holy Spirit?
In Matthew chapter 3, it says, then Jesus, when he had been baptized, came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighted upon him. So the Holy Spirit did come upon him when he was baptized.
And it came upon him, and that's what John alluded to. What's the difference between this? It came upon him in a new way to anoint him for ministry and equip him for service. That's the difference between the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Obviously, Jesus had the Holy Spirit before him, because if John the Baptist had the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb, certainly Jesus would have too. But it was a different experience, and that's why people that deny this unique experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I don't think they're being honest with the Scriptures, but John the Baptist is a great example. He was filled with the Holy Spirit in the womb. Certainly Jesus, conceived by the Holy Spirit, was filled with the Holy Spirit in the womb. But there was another sort of outpouring. There was another event that took place that equipped him to serve the Lord with ministry. And what I want to do on the night we're going to talk about spiritual gifts is we're literally going to have a time of prayer, and we might not even have the Q&A time. We're just going to have a time of ministry and prayer for God to just anoint you with spiritual gifts. And you might say, well, you know, the Lord's called me to this ministry, or the Lord's called me to this task, and I need just to ask the Lord, will you give me the gifts that I need for that task? And so when's the last time you've had someone just lay hands on you and just pray that the Holy Spirit would stir those gifts up in you? And that's what we want to do that night.
There's also a part of the mystery of the separation of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in the incarnation of Christ at that moment that we don't yet know.
Oh, amen. Yeah. Without a doubt. Right. I don't understand the virgin birth. And I don't understand all the other things.
And why the Spirit would come on him, and then he was driven out into the desert, and the whole challenge by the devil, and all those things make it a mysterious thing that we don't have.
Start out. What's your next one?
Okay. Next one. John 14:15-18. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Does this mean he will come to us through the Holy Spirit? And that's a question. And then the other question is, Jesus is the Holy Spirit?
Anybody want to start on that one? I think it goes back to what I said about I will send another of the same type, another of the same kind, just like me, okay, comforter. And that's what he's saying. Obviously, Jesus is not the Holy Spirit, but let's look at, when we say God, who are we talking about usually? The Father, right? God is just a title for what we want to call deity. That's his DNA. He's deity. Jesus is deity. God the Father is deity. God the Son is deity, okay? So when the Holy Spirit comes within us, he is deity. The Father and the Son are there just as much, but it's in the person of the Holy Spirit. But where he is, they're one. You can't divide them. If you've got Jesus, you've got the Father and the Spirit. That's why Jesus blew the Pharisees away. You know, he said to Philip, if you see me, you've seen what? The Father. Because we are one. So you can't really divide them.
No,
we do
Smith.
Want we are recording this, so if you want to get a copy of it, you can get that. Okay, next.
Chuck Smith explained it really well for me, because I had always been told Father, Son, Holy Spirit is 1 × 1 × 1 = 1. But he said it's like this, there's three forms of water. You have the steam, you have water, and you have ice, but it's still water. And that helps me to understand it. Just thought I'd say that.
I like that. And that used to be my favorite example, but the only difference is I say H2O. Is chemically, they're all three the same. They're just a gas, a liquid, or a solid. Mm-hmm. And then I came across a better one. It's musical. It's the chord. A chord is how many notes?
Three.
If you have two notes, not a chord. One note, not a chord. But each note is completely separate and distinct. But when they're played together, they form something unique, and that is a chord. The Trinity is unique. But they're all separate and distinct apart from one another, but they come together and form what we know musically as a chord. I thought that was a real cool illustration as well.
How do you know if you are praying in the spirit or in the flesh?
We're instructed in the book of Ephesians, 1 and 2 Peter, to uphold each other, to love each other, to prefer the others before we even consider ourselves, especially in Ephesians. Paul goes through great lengths in chapter 6 to talk about husbands and wives and fathers and children and bosses and their employees, if you want to stretch it to that. And it's always the other one is preferred. And we can pattern that or take that into prayer also. Typically, if we're praying in the flesh, it's a lot about us. It's about, bless me, God. I need this. I'm in trouble here. I really want this. And that turns into being very inward, very fleshly. When we're praying for others, we don't look at ourselves at all. We're looking at their concerns, their problems, their issues, their good place, and asking the Lord to help them. And it completely takes the focus off of ourselves. And the Holy Spirit will help us in that, to know what to pray. And even if you don't know what to pray, you can pray in the Spirit, and God joins with you in that prayer, the Holy Spirit does, and it reaches heaven. And God knows what you're saying without you saying it.
You know, I might take this time to as another commercial for the baptism of the Holy Spirit and your spiritual language, because I know there are people right here, and I know you think in your heads, I don't really need that. I get that. I'm not here to push anything on you. But I will say this, there are many reasons that I think it's such a beautiful, wonderful gift, and one of many is just exactly what you said. When you pray in your heavenly language, you are praying the perfect prayer. You are praying the exact perfect will of God for that circumstance that you have as the burden of your heart and mind at that time. You can't pray a more perfect prayer in English than you can pray in your heavenly language. You're praying according to the will of God because the Spirit, like Suzette said, is helping us in our weaknesses. And so he is guiding us to pray spiritual prayers and not prayers that are carnal. But also, James 4 says this, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war within your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. And you ask and don't receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. And I think that's wonderful for that God says, I'm not even going to answer those prayers that you pray in the flesh because you are asking amiss to spend it on your own pleasures. Anybody else want to add anything?
I think sometimes when you're praying, if you're silent before the Lord and you wait, he will give you what to pray. Because if we come before him and we know everything we're going to pray and we're doing all the talking, how can we ever know what the Spirit is saying to us that we might pray the right prayer for that situation? And a lot of times when I've prayed, I just sat quietly before the Lord and I said, Holy Spirit, I don't know how to pray for this situation, or I know too much about this situation. So would you give me the right things to pray? And that's when you pray in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Because when you know everything about the situation and you continue to pray those things, then you're just repeating the same things over and over again. But when you stop and you say, take out all that I know, put in what you have so that I might be in line with what your desire is, Lord. That's the kind of prayer that's in the Spirit. I wanted to share something about Peter because Pastor Steve mentioned him, and I wanted to kind of compare him before Pentecost and after Pentecost. And we as women did a study in 2 Peter, and Cheryl Broderson made a list, and this was a really neat list that she made. Before Pentecost, Peter was a coward. After Pentecost, he was courageous. Before Pentecost, he was impulsive. After Pentecost, he was humble. Before Pentecost, he was ignorant. After Pentecost, he was enlightened. Before Pentecost, he was deeply inquisitive. After Pentecost, he was submissive. Before Pentecost, he was boastful of himself. After Pentecost, he was boastful of Christ. Before Pentecost, he was timid and afraid. And after Pentecost, he was fearless. That's the Peter that Pastor Steve talked about when he said he denied Christ, and then after the Spirit came upon him, what happened? And that's what can happen to us also.
And some people may not know what Pentecost was, but that was the event when the Holy Spirit came and came down upon the church to empower the church. Mm-hmm. Acts chapter 2.
That's what they were waiting for.
Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for the precious Holy Spirit. Lord, I'm so blown away that We are so blessed that you don't just give us truth, you don't just show us the way to walk in it, but you literally live inside of us, helping us to walk step by step in the Christian life. And I pray, Lord, that through this study tonight, that you would cause us to be more Holy Spirit conscious, to be more Holy Spirit dependent, and be more Holy Spirit desperate in our lives. Lord, we want more love, more power, more of you. Lord, the only thing stopping it is us, that we might get out of the way and let your Holy Spirit flow through us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope God has spoken to you through this podcast. Tell your friends and please visit us on the web at www.calvarychapelfoothillranch.com.